This is episode 213 of the Prepper Website Podcast, where I connect you with resources that will help you live a more self-reliant life. Today's articles are 8 Steps to Better Home Defense and 12 Reasons Why Well-Trained and Equipped People Fail to Survive. Hey, I'm Todd Sepulveda, the editor of PrepperWebsite.com. This podcast is an audible version with some commentary of articles that have been posted on Prepper Website, a daily curation of preparedness information. These articles are some of the best that have been recently posted on PrepperWebsite.com. All article links and show information can be found on the PrepperWebsitePodcast.com. Hey, before we get started, you can make sure that you get the Prepper Website Podcast delivered to your favorite device without fail. We make it very easy for you to subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, or any other favorite podcast network out there. And if you do feel like you are receiving value from this podcast, we do appreciate your kind reviews. Hey, so let's go ahead and jump right into this Friday podcast. I want to give just a big thank you to Bloopy29. So Bloopy left a review on iTunes, a 5-star review. He says, good dude. He says, this guy goes through the black hole that is preparedness and pulls out some good gems to share with you. Well worth listening to. Man, that means a lot, and I really do appreciate Bloopy coming off of yesterday. I do appreciate that one greatly, more than you realize. It just really makes my evening. Usually, I'm seeing those in the evening time. It really makes my evening right before I'm going into the podcast. And so, really do appreciate that, and just thank you so much for doing that. And I love your feedback. I talked way too much about that yesterday. I do appreciate your feedback, though, and try to learn and grow from that. But thanks so much, man, for doing that. Really do appreciate it. Hey, before I get started into the articles, I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about something, I guess, kind of from the heart, I guess, if you allow me to go there. I really want you to be thinking about starting the year, because here we are in December, about to go into 2018, a brand new year. And a lot of the times they'll tell you, you know, make sure that your content is evergreen. You don't really want to talk about, putting any dates or whatever so that you can use this content from time to time, you know, in different arenas. But really what I'm going to be talking about is specific to moving into a new year. And so we're sitting here in December, just a little over 2 weeks before we get into the new year. And so I want you to really think about looking at 2018 and really attacking it with some real purpose in your life. And so don't want to get too deep here, but I see some of the replies that I get, especially from like the survey when people sign up for the email list. I know that there are some of you out there that have been prepping for, I mean, you are like really new to preparedness. So like 0 to 6 months. I know there's a lot of you out there, and some of you are coming to the podcast not because of the website or because you hit us on social media. It's simply because you found us on some podcast network, probably like iTunes or Google Music or TuneIn or Stitcher. And so you're like, hey, what is this? And so you started, checking it out. And maybe you're like, hey, okay, this is something that, is kind of interesting. I'm kind of hanging with you. And as you've been hanging out with us a little bit, you're like, you know what? This preparedness stuff is not all the whack jobs out there. This is legit. You know, these people are preparing for times that when their lives, whatever it might be, for a natural disaster or, you know, because something man-made or even something personal happens, they want to be prepared for it, right? And then there's some of you out there that have been prepping for 10 years or more. And so really this what I'm talking about here, what I want to briefly cover, it does really affect all of us, but especially those that have been prepping for a little while, because those of you that are new, it's really new to you, and so there's a lot, you're going through a lot, and you're trying to navigate all of that. And we're trying to help you. We try to help you as much as possible with putting great content on Prepper website and on the podcast and even what we do on Facebook and Facebook Lives and things like that and the Facebook group. But those of you who've been prepping for a little while, maybe 3 years or more, one of the things that I have noticed in my own life is that you tend to get into, I don't want to say survival mode, right? But I guess it's you get into just pressing on, and you get into this prep mode, and that's kind of all that's where you're at. And so it's real easy because we talk about it all the time, right? It's like, make sure that you are, your food storage, you're doing first in, first out. Make sure that, you're checking your gear and you're doing all those kinds of things. And it's kind of like we stay in a maintenance mode instead of really pursuing this year that we're going into and saying, I'm going to be purposeful about growing. How am I going to grow in my preparedness? And sometimes that might mean gear. Sometimes that might mean adding to your stores or your storage. But a lot of the times that probably means adding to your knowledge and to your skill set. How am I going to grow? But purposefully, not just, hey, I'm going to, go to Prepper website, or I'm going to follow some people on, Facebook or whatever. But I have a plan. I have a plan to purposefully grow. So whatever that might be, it's like, hey, I've been saying for the longest time that I'd like to take my family on a camping trip, right? So what if you started planning? You're like, I'm going into 2018 with purpose to take my family on a couple of camping trips, right? And so you start planning that out. I'm going into 2018 with the purpose of really bringing down my debt as much as possible, trying to get debt free. I'm going into 2018 trying to put away some money so I have an emergency fund so that I don't have to depend on credit cards and those kinds of things. Or I'm going to start a budget, or I'm going to, I'm going to go ahead and finally, I've been talking about it, I've been reading about it, I've been listening to Todd talk about it on the podcast about having, 3 months worth or 6 months worth of food storage. I'm finally going to plan for 2018 to finally knock back 6 months worth of food, right? And to be purposeful about it. And we have the preparedness aspect of it, but then also, what if there was something else in your life? Because preparedness shouldn't be our whole life. It shouldn't suck up our whole life. We need to be able to live life. And, we've got families, we've got kids, we've got, spouses, we got our jobs, we've got, there's life goes on. And sometimes it's very easy, guys, to get sucked into this preparedness mindset. And it's like you're just waiting for the doom to happen, right? And I totally understand it. I mean, I've been there before, totally. But there's life goes on, and there's people that have been waiting for the doom to happen for 20, 30 years. And it's like nothing's happened, but their whole life has been like, 1 foot in the shelter and 1 foot, 1 foot in the bunker, right? And 1 foot in the world, and just kind of like, just kind of waiting for the mushroom cloud to go up so that you can go underground and live, do your preparedness thing. But life goes on. So what is there in 2018 that you can be purposeful about and something else other than preparedness as well? Maybe getting some goals together. Maybe there's some family goals. Maybe there's, I'd like to build my relationship with my spouse. I'd like to focus on that a little bit more. I'd like to build my relationship with my kids a little bit more. I was thinking a little bit about that today and realized that this is going to be the last Christmas where my family, my three boys, are going to be all together at the house for Christmas morning without any kind of like spouses or things like that, because I do have a son who's going to be getting married next year. And so, you kind of start thinking about things like that. How can you, are there some things that maybe you need to be purposeful about this next year? Maybe you go back to school. Maybe it is a spiritual, you know, like, hey, I'm really going to take my relationship with the Lord very serious this year. I'm going to go to church every Sunday. I'm going to start reading the Bible. I'm going to go to Sunday school. There's going to be some Bible studies that I'm going to definitely, you know, go to, and I'm going to, you know, really take an inventory of my friends and see who is really, you know, influencing me for the good, right? So all different kinds of things you can do, because like I said, we can go from year to year to year and everything looks the same. You know, 2017 looked like 2016, and 2016 looked like 2015, and 2015 looked like 2014. And, you know, we just be careful about that. Let's grow. Let's be purposeful about how we live our lives. Let's enjoy life, the life that, you know, God has given us here to be able to do something other than wait for the mushroom cloud to go up and you know, go that way. There's life out there that needs to happen. And so the reason that I'm kind of talking a little bit about this, and I really didn't even do, I'm working all this through myself as I'm talking on, you know, and recording this for the podcast. But you know that I listen to a lot of podcasts. I mean, I don't even listen to music anymore. On, you know, when I'm in the vehicles and in the morning time, I have an external speaker and I turn the podcast on. So I mean, it's pretty much, if you could just imagine. So I get into the shower. I have an external speaker that's pretty loud. So by the time I get in the shower and I'm getting ready, everyone's gone. They've gone to work, gone to school, all that stuff. And so I'm here by myself, so I have this external speaker loud. So I'm in the shower, I'm listening to podcasts. I'm listening to podcasts all through the time that I'm getting ready. I get ready, I get dressed, I put my phone in my pocket, I'm listening to the podcast as I'm closing up the house. I get into the truck, I'm listening to the podcast on the way to work. And so I'm just consuming a lot of content, which is great. And like I said before, it's not all in just preparedness. It's a lot of it is in leadership. Some of it is in education. Some of it is just in, hey, this sounds kind of cool, you know, and let me, I'll tell you, like Radio Lab, I don't always agree with everything that they say. And there's some TED Talks, like TED Radio Talks that are really good. I mean, it's like, man, they mix all kinds of sounds and it's just, it's like a real production. I mean, it's almost like television for your mind, really, you know, audio. They do just a really great job. It's a performance production type thing. It's not just someone talking. So I'm listening to all these, and one of the podcasts that I have, and I actually was about to delete it, was the Ziegler podcast. Now, I used to listen to Zig Ziegler all the time before he died, and I think his podcast still might be out there. And if you're looking for leadership content, that is great stuff. If you can find it, and just you know, they're not putting new stuff out there. And he had done so many conferences and so many talks that basically his podcast was about 20, 30 minutes worth of him talking, you know, at a conference and addressing people. And so they would just, you know, use those as his podcast. The Ziegler podcast that I started listening to, I think it's like a grandson or something like that. And I just really didn't like the format. I listened to two or three episodes. It just really didn't do it for me. But I saw one by Michael Hyatt, and they were interviewing Michael Hyatt. And he's like a leadership guru, used to be the CEO of Thomas Nelson. He has his website, michaelhyatt.com. He's written a book, you know, called Platform, and you know, how to get your message out there, and all that kind of stuff that I've listened to in the past. But after a while, it was kind of getting boring. It was all the same kind of stuff over and over again. So you know, I started listening to other podcasts, and at one point, I just saved space. I deleted him. But they were interviewing him, talking about his new book. And his new book is about, you know, making goals and your best year ever, I think is what it's called. It's comes out in January 2nd of 2018, and it's all about goals and making a plan so where you actually achieve them. And it's not just your straight up, you know, hey, this is a goal setting or whatever, but it seemed very interesting. So I went ahead and went back to his old podcast, but he has a new one, and so started listening to it, and the episode that I downloaded was "You Can Design Your Year." And so he's talking with his daughter, and they're just talking about, and they added some of those Radio Lab, TED Radio Talk shows elements where there's music in the background. It's not just not them talking, so it's a little bit more entertaining. I thought they did a really good job about that. But they talked a little bit about, you know, preparing your year, designing your year. Now, I've got to be really, really honest. So when I start listening to something like that, I start like, man, I really like almost get to the point where I'm going to turn it off, because being a believer, being a Christian, I feel that my life, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to pray. I want to seek God. I want to make sure that my life, that what I'm doing, whatever I'm doing, everything that I'm doing is pleasing to Him. And so that's why I pray. That's why I read my Bible. That's why I feel that the more I draw closer to the Lord, the more He draws closer to me. And then, you know, I want to stay sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. And so when you start preparing your whole year out, you really take away the aspect of listening to the Holy Spirit, right? And because I know people who, for instance, in ministry, I have a guy that I used to go to school with, and he was very, very pleased with himself that he planned out. So he had a weekend retreat where he planned out all of his sermons for the whole year. And I'm like, that drives me up the wall. Because, you know, I've been to churches, I've visited churches where they were in a series, and things happened out there in the world that probably they should have stopped their series, and they should have, you know, taught on this because it was relevant to Christians and believers, people of faith, and they didn't. They just went right on with their series. It's like, hey, we can't stop our series. We've got to keep going with our series. And to me, that is not being, you know, it's like the Holy, and it, okay, and someone will say, Todd, maybe the Holy Spirit told him to keep going with the series. Maybe so, but I don't see it that way. I don't believe that's the way it goes. I believe that you plan out these things and it makes it easy, because listen, I'm pretty talented when it comes to being able to just shoot from the hip. And so I can, if I'm saying we're going to do a series on the book of James, right? That completely takes the Holy Spirit out of it for me. All I need to do is look at chapter 1, James chapter 1. All right, let me outline it. Let me talk about some points. Let me give you this, that. Let me throw in some stories. Here we go. We're good. And I completely throw the Holy Spirit out. And so I can, and I've been there before. And that's why I don't do series. I really truly try to seek God every week for God. What do you want me to preach on? Where do you want me to go? And so I really take that seriously. I really truly do. That doesn't mean that I don't ever do series. God does give me series to do, but I really have to feel like it's the Holy Spirit leading me. So when I start talking about your year and planning your year out and your goals, and this podcast, this episode of Michael Hyatt's was "You Can Design Your Year." At first, I was like, "Man, that's just crap," because I'm gonna plan out my whole year. I'm gonna spend a couple of hours planning out my year, coming up with some great goals, and then I'm just gonna completely do it on my own and do it on my own strength and my own power. And as a believer, I don't want that. That's I want to be free to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So I was kind of continued listening because, like I said, it was a little entertaining. It was a different format than in the past. And I really felt the Lord remind me of a scripture that I went to go look up. And it's Proverbs 16:9. "The mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." And so, I was in a meeting today, and there was some entertainment. We had some kids, choirs and different things like that. It was great. But, in order for me to remember this, I wanted to make a graphic. And so I have some graphic programs on my phone. So I kind of went to town really quick while they were doing their presentation, and they were singing and stuff like that, and put it out there on Instagram and on my Facebook page and on my Twitter, and kind of threw it out there. And my thing that I wrote on Instagram was, Make the plans, but be flexible that the Holy Spirit can, you know, can disrupt your day or disrupt your whatever it is, your year. And really, when you think about it, that's exactly what kind of happened to Jesus. At one point, he tells the disciples after they were ministering, they get in the boat and he says, hey, let's go to a quiet, secluded place. And so they're going off to rest a little bit, but then the crowds follow Jesus and they realize that they realize that where he's at, and they follow him, and then he sees them and he feels compassion on them because they're like sheep without a shepherd. And so he begins to minister to them. So that plan that they had to get away and to rest and to eat, because the scripture says that they weren't even eating, was disrupted. Because people were coming and they needed to be ministered to. And so I was reminded about that as well. And so I really felt comfortable with the fact that, you know what, I can set some goals and I can plan out what 2018 might look like. I can put some preparedness goals in mind. I can put some family goals in mind, maybe even some career goals in mind. And I can start shooting those. I can start shooting for those. I can start moving towards those and thinking about those kinds of things. But at the same time, being willing and sensitive and obedient to God and to the Holy Spirit, that if He wants to disrupt any of those goals, that's okay, right? That's okay to do. And not as an excuse to not accomplish those goals, but as a obedience of, hey, okay, wait a minute. So you had this plan, but I have this plan for you here instead. And a lot of the times what you'll find is it's either an enhancement of your plan or it's a different aspect of your plan that you didn't even realize, but it does flow along those same plans. So I felt very, very comfortable with that. And so I wanted to share that. I just felt led to kind of share that for this podcast going into the weekend. And hopefully, you know, you don't feel like I'm preaching to you too much out there. I know that there's a lot of you that are believers that are listening to the podcast, and some of you that maybe not. But even if you're not a believer, you can still run with the idea of being purposeful, looking to 2018. And there's, you know, some preparedness plans that you can put in place, but even some other kind of plans that you can put in place. And so what I wanted to do in the show notes is I'm going to link to, anytime I kind of mention something, I put it in the mentioned in this episode section of the show notes. And so you can go check that out if you're interested in it. So it's the episode that I was talking about, the Michael Hyatt episode, You Can Design Your Year. There are some resources there on that they talk about, like making your life score assessment and some other resources that they discuss in the podcast episode that are there in the show notes, and you can go check those out. And so I welcome you to go do that. And if you find any benefit of it, you know, let me know. And if there are any other podcasts out there, leadership podcasts, I mean, I try to find the best ones, and I might listen to one or two episodes of one and like I don't really jive with what the host is, where they're going. And so, I might stop listening to that one and then go to another one. But, feel free to share those out. Drop them in the comments and let me know. I'm always open to check out, new podcasts and things like that. So a lot there went a long way on talking about that. But hopefully you can take a little bit of time to put some plans in place and let 2018 be a very purposeful year. I'm going to be looking for that Michael Hyatt book on January 2nd and maybe even getting the audio version of it. And man, there's just so many. I still need to get Mark Goodwin's new book on audio, and so many great things out there that I'd like to do. I just need to find the time to do it, right? That's the thing. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into our first article of the podcast. The first article comes to us from spyescapeandevasion.com. Again, that's spyescapeandevasion.com. And this article is entitled, 8 Steps to Better Home Defense. I think this is important. I think that as the economy continues to crap out on us, and people are running on hard times, I think people are going to be getting desperate and they're going to do bad things. They're going to break into houses. I've been saying that for a while, way before even the podcast. I've written articles on that. And so I think that this is one area of preparedness that we should be paying attention to. And so hopefully you find some things in this one that that are relevant and you find some value in it. So let's start reading this one. I was a young kid when I got my first taste of what it's like to have your home robbed. A burglar stole a television from our home in Denver. I don't think I really understood the true depth of the issue then, but I consider home defense critical today. In 2016, the FBI estimated that nearly 8 million property crimes were committed. Each of those crimes has a victim, and that victim could be you. When someone invades your home, it's not just your possessions they are taking. They are also taking away your sense of security. You recognize your vulnerability and begin to feel weak. If you are the protector of your home, you can begin to feel inadequate. If you're lucky, your family will be safe. In many cases, people are injured or even killed. Rather than being another victim, be the hero of your home. By following these 8 steps, you can prevent most home invasions before they occur. Avoid being the target. A home robbery begins long before burglars actually break in. Experts in home invasions are not careless. Most burglars observe and research their victims' homes before breaking into them. They want to know what they can steal, how quickly they can get in and out, and when is the best time to enter. Number one, showing the goods. It's natural to want to show off your valuables. Many, like jewelry and art, are specifically meant to be shown. However, they should only be shown to those who know and trust or in the appropriate circumstances. It's okay to wear a nice watch or a necklace out on the town, but don't let them in plain sight when you are not wearing them. You should also keep expensive household goods from view. It might seem odd to think of hiding that flat screen television, but it is important. Make sure to keep blinds closed on windows that show these items, especially at night. It is much easier to look into a window at night than it is during the day. It is also more obvious when someone is trying to case your house during the day. So if you need that natural light in the daytime, just remember to close the blinds at night. Outside objects can draw attention as well. A nice car or expensive lawn ornaments can attract the attention of thieves and indicate that valuable objects might be inside. Park your car in a garage if possible and try to remove anything from the lawn or driveway that might indicate wealth. Let me just interject really quick here. I love the idea of, you know, make sure that you're closing your windows at night. I mean, how many times have you passed by a house and, you know, they're sitting in the dark, but the TV is on and you can see, you know, that they have a big screen TV and those kinds of things. You know, just close the shade, you know, just make sure that you do that. But a couple of things that you can leave behind, like diversionary things, right? So if you want to get a burglar's mind, or like they have taken the valuables, right? You can do something like, if you have money or cash in the house, you can leave maybe like 20, 30, 50 bucks, maybe in smaller bills, maybe with some 5s and 10s and 20s or whatever, and leave them on the dresser somewhere. So they think that that's where your money stash is, right? Or at least in your top drawer of your socks or whatever. So they think that they got your cash. The other thing is that if you have prescription bottles that are expired and maybe, you know, you're willing to go ahead and get rid of them or whatever, you're not one of those like preparedness-minded people who are like, hey, medicine really never runs out or expires. It just loses its potency. But you can put some expired drugs in a drug, you know, in a cabinet wherever you keep your medicines and things like that. And then your other, you know, the stuff that's good, go ahead and put it up somewhere that's just a little bit harder to get into. So some diversionary things that you can do there. All right, number two, deny entry routes. A good home defense strategy really starts at the entrance to your property. If you have a fence along your property, make sure to close and lock it. This is especially important if it is a privacy fence, since it will obscure the intruder from neighbors if they get past it. Another thing criminals look for when looking for an entry is hiding places in your yard. Thick bushes and trees may provide a great hiding place for a criminal to get a better look at your property. By keeping your bushes trimmed low or narrow, you deny this space to a criminal trying to get close to your front door. You should also consider lighting at this point. Motion sensor lights and other outdoor lighting can keep criminals from approaching your house in the first place. Many have pointed out that lighting may actually help the criminal gain access to your home. This is true if the lighting is accent lighting that doesn't expose the thief. Proper lighting that exposes people on your property is incredibly valuable for home defense. Deterring theft. Even if the potential thief makes it to your home, there are plenty of ways to discourage them from entering. It's always better to stop them before they get in that try to deal with the loss of goods or a confrontation. So number three is make the house look occupied even when it's not. There are many ways to keep a house looking occupied. It all starts with making sure it doesn't look abandoned. If you take off for a while for vacation or a business trip, make sure that someone is looking after the house for you. This includes mowing the lawn, picking up newspapers and mail, and taking care of any other trash or yard debris that you would generally pick up. You can take this a step further by asking them to follow some of your normal routines. For example, if your trash goes out on the same day each week, ask them to take out the cans and put them away when they do theirs. And speaking of neighbors, you can also ask them to look for stickers or flyers stuck in the door. These will often leave some sort of marking on the door that a homeowner would pick up to test the occupancy of the home. Indoor lights can use timers to show activity within the home. The fake TV is a great option to fool an observer into believing someone is at home in the evenings. Bedroom lamps can also be put on a timer to make it look like a routine is being followed. Number four is windows and doors. Short of investing in new windows, there are security measures that you can take to secure your existing windows. Windows have latches, not locks. If burglars can reach in through a crack with a tool, then they may be able to unlatch a window from the outside. To make windows more secure, place bolts or screws on sliding windows to ensure they don't open far enough for a burglar to enter. You may want to leave these out enough that you can remove them if you need the window open all the way. Just ensure that they are far enough in that they will stop the window from being forced open. And they actually sell little devices that you can have like a little turn screw in there, and that would go on the inside of your track of your window, and you just tighten them down. And I know that I have put those in or embedded those in articles that I have written, but you know, like window locks. And so you're not really drilling into the side of your window or anything like that, and you're not really having to need a screwdriver to unlock them. But these work really, really well. And so if you're wanting to do something like that, just invest in these, because you're not doing any drilling or anything like that, and it looks nice and neat. And a lot of the times, depending on your window, you can't even see them. They're hidden unless you know where they're at. If a burglar can't open the window, then they have to break the glass. Windows and doors with reinforced glass are an ideal way to combat this problem. If you don't want to invest in new windows, there's another great option. 3M security window film covers window glass, making it harder to penetrate. Glass fragments hold together even after the window is struck repeatedly. The film maintains window appearance and impedes burglars by making it harder to break in. You can find the appropriate film at most window stores. Doors. Make sure your doors are made from strong materials, otherwise intruders can get in by force. Doors made from metal and solid wood are ideal. They both last a long time and offer sturdy protection. Ensure that any additional entrances, such as to a garage, also have these solid doors. If you have a solid door, it may be the frame that becomes the weakest point. You can reinforce the strength of the door by adding a simple door brace. They can be purchased on Amazon for about $40 and provide significant protection against the door being smashed in. Most door locks in America are quick-set locks. Simply by being the most common, these locks are often the ones criminals have the most experience with. We recommend sledge locks, and a quick swap could be a valuable investment. home defense tools. Sometimes there's just no stopping a criminal from getting into your home. That's when it's time to lock or to look at your defense strategy. Your strategy doesn't need to be heroic or complex. It just needs to protect you and your family. So number five is home defense firearms. Just about any firearm can serve as a home defense firearm. Some are better than others, and some may just be ridiculous. But any firearm is better than no firearm. Shotguns are a great option. You can switch out your type of ammunition to meet your needs. Generally speaking, the problem with shotguns is the capacity of the ammunition. Magazine-fed shotguns are notoriously unreliable, and breech shotguns only hold one or two rounds. I recommend a pump-action shotgun because they are reliable and effective. You may want to load it with a couple of rounds of birdshot to be fired first if you are concerned with over-penetration. Rifles are a fantastic option. I would avoid rifles that are very long, too heavy to maneuver, or have a bolt action. Semi-automatic rifles are preferred, and you can really use whichever caliber you prefer. Just make sure that if your rifle is your only option, you have a plan to get to it before the criminal gets to you. While pistols would be my least preferred method, they do have some advantages. The primary advantage is that you can always have it with you. Unlike a rifle or a shotgun, you can comfortably carry your pistol around your house, concealed or otherwise. Number six is pets for home defense. Without a doubt, dogs and other pets can be invaluable for home defense. Dogs can serve as deterrents, early warning assistants, and protectors. Luckily, we've recently published the first of two parts in a series on specially trained dogs. So instead of sharing my personal opinions, I'll share these articles from a professional dog trainer. So the two articles here that are linked are how to select the right dog for your needs and how to know that your dog is properly trained. These articles should not only help you understand the capabilities of dogs, but also how to get properly trained dogs that will really do the job. So catching the thieves. When you can't stop a burglar from entering, the next best thing is to get him off the street. Hopefully you'll recover any stolen belongings if he is caught, but at a minimum you'll prevent him from continuing to rob or harm others. You can help law enforcement by providing as much information as possible as quickly as possible. So number seven is home security systems. Home security cameras can play a huge role in your home defense plan. They can provide you advance notice of any entry as well as alert the police. No matter your plans, having the most advanced notice possible is critical to executing them properly. The alarm system can alert you when the criminal is still at his point of entry. This allows you to wake up, get to your preferred firearm, or consolidate your family if necessary. But notifying the police is just as important. Most home robberies take only 8 to 12 minutes. The criminals know what they want and where to find it, so they get in and out as quickly as possible. Meanwhile, police response times tend to average around 10 minutes and can be far slower in some locations. When you need the police at your house, every moment counts, and an alarm that notifies local law enforcement can make the difference. You know, I'm sure if you are on Facebook, you have seen those videos, or even on YouTube, where people have, I can't remember, is it the Ring or whatever, it's the round camera that's on the front door, and you know, there's always someone trying to do something like steal packages or try to break into the house or trying to do weird stuff, and they're always catching them, right? There's some advantage to that, man, there really is. And the thing is, some of those you're paying quite a bit of money for, like monthly monitoring to be able to send video to the cloud and things like that. But there are ways that you can do that in it. So if you are a little tech savvy, and even you don't really even have to be a little tech savvy. I think if you just, you know, you can follow instructions. There are home security systems that you can put in place that you can purchase like from Amazon, and you can go ahead and put those kinds of things in place, and they'll do the same thing. They have apps that will alert you if they go off or whatever, monitor for whatever reason. So you know, if that's something or a way that you need to go, that option is always available. And so actually, so number eight is video cameras. So let's go ahead and talk about this one. It may surprise you just how valuable cameras are in collecting information. About a year ago, a criminal broke into a friend's house. The thief covered his face, but because of the cameras, police were able to find prints in places they wouldn't normally look. Cameras can help identify subjects in many ways. They can capture images of any vehicle used, where a criminal went, and other identifying features. If your camera system uses cloud storage, this information can be provided to law enforcement in real time. Just keep in mind that there are privacy risks when using this method, as the video is always live and usually only protected by a basic password. So there is a graphic, 8 steps to better home security, and so uses this this article and puts this article like in a graphic form. So make a home defense plan now. Far too often, people wait until an intruder has entered their home to start planning. These plans need to take into consideration the layout and construction of your home, entry points intruders are most likely to use, the ability of family members to respond on their own, and where your family members are located throughout the day. These personal points combined with the concepts in this article should give you plenty of information to make an effective plan. Test your plan using the crawl, walk, run method. The crawl phase is where each person explains what they would do during a home invasion. You may have different plans based on different scenarios, so make sure each is discussed. Walking through the process just gives everyone an opportunity to commit these actions to memory. This step is often overlooked, but is an important one. By practicing your action at a relaxed pace, it gives participants the opportunity to consider options and identify potential flaws in the plan. The run phase is where you test your plan at full speed. You may not want anyone running in this test, but have them attempt to do things at the most realistic speed possible. All right, good article over there at spyescapeandevasion.com. I think these kinds of articles are going to be important. Give us a little bit of give us some ideas to be able to implement our own home security, and to at least get us thinking that way. Because you never know what might happen. You might feel like you're in the safest part of town. I know that my part of town, we've seen some changes just like maybe like in the last 3-4 years. People are starting to notice it. And then, of course, people will always say, oh, it's always been there. It's just now social media. You hear more about you hear it more often. And no, that's not true. We are seeing more. There's more crime happening. And so you might be in a situation like that, a neighborhood or a community or a part of the city where you've seen some changes. And so it's just a good idea to put some of these things in place and make sure that everyone in your family knows what they're doing. All right, so go check that article out. Like I said, there's those links that you might want to check out on making sure you have the right pet. That's always a good deal. Every week I ask on the Facebook group if there's a topic for the Friday podcast, because what I do is I pull an article out of the archive. And so every website that I read their articles from, they have given me permission. If you are a webmaster and you're listening to this podcast and you'd like me to read your articles on the podcast or for consideration, just drop me a line and we'll start including you, in the list. But I throw that out there on the Facebook group. I'm like, hey, what's a topic that you might be interested in? And so this week, the topic was firearm safety, and then different food storage, different types of food storage companies, I guess, the different types of food, taste tests and things like that. So I didn't look very, very deep for the food tasting one because I've never remembered one where I've actually posted that, because I don't normally post reviews on Prepper website. If I do a review, it's my own review that I'm posting up there. I don't normally do reviews from other people, so I wouldn't have that. But I thought the firearm safety one was probably a good idea, and so I went looking for one of those. And of course, if you go to the firearms section, man, there was tons and tons of articles going back, pages and pages. But here's the sad thing, right? This has nothing to do with the Friday podcast or whatever, the archive articles or whatever. But, well, I guess it does have to do with the archive articles, but not with where I'm going as far as which one I'm reading. But I was pulling up different firearms, or I would see the title, and I would click on it, and then it would go to a website that was that wasn't around anymore. And there was, and I'm noticing there's a trend, because I know it happened to one of my websites, is that there's people that will pick up a website that has been, I guess, let go, and they'll pick it up because they assume that somehow there's some, it has a history, so there's some traffic out there, and so they'll throw up whatever junk up there. So that happened with my old church website. Someone picked it up, and the only reason I know that is because the RSS feed, I started getting an email, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute, this is my old site, my old church site, and someone had picked it up and was posting all kinds of stuff about drugs on there. I'm like, oh, great, you know. So anybody who has a feed is thinking that that's happening. But anyway, so there were some sites that were older preparedness sites that were in the same predicament, right? Their URL or their domain had something to do with survival or preparedness, but the content of it didn't have anything to do. It had something, it was just random stuff, right? But I thought it was just sad, and I've written articles, and I've talked about this before in the past, where I've written articles on how preparedness is just like, there's a cycle where people will come in, and they will write articles, and they will have a website, and they do really, really well, and we try to promote. I mean, if you are a new website, let me know, and if I don't know you have articles out there, because I stay pretty busy. I used to really stay up on all the new websites, and it's just really hard to keep up nowadays. So, but if you are legitimately writing, if you are a webmaster and you have a preparedness, homesteading, survival, bushcraft, whatever site, and you are actually writing your articles and not just copying another article, whatever, let me know, man, because I wanna put you up on Prepper website and promote your material, and hopefully you'll let me read your stuff on the podcast. But I'm always looking for that. So it's so sad. Like how many sites were down. And I'm like, man, these are some great articles. I remember these are some great articles. And as I was remembering the titles, going way, way back. And it just is a little depressing, thinking about that. But that's just the way things happen. That's the normal cycle of how things happen. People come and go, and websites come and go. And so that's one reason why before I get into this article, is if you find a great website out there, people that you're finding value from, let them know. Say, hey, I'm coming or visiting your website because Todd over at the Prepper Website Podcast read it. I thought it was a great article, so I wanted to come check out your other stuff. And just let them know, because sometimes you're out there and you're writing and you don't get any real feedback, especially if you're a small website. And you're like, is anyone even really listening? Is anyone really even, reading my articles? Why do I even try? You might start out because you have these great ideas, and you're hoping that you can share these ideas with other people, and then it just all kind of craps out, and then you give up on it. And so I've seen many, many websites throughout the years go down like that. And so, if you can, let people know that you appreciate their stuff. But then at the same time, maybe there's some of you out there who it's time for you to start writing your own blog and writing your own articles out there. You can start out with no money out of pocket at all. But then if you feel like it's going somewhere, you can go ahead and buy your own domain and stuff like that. So I just wanted to throw that out there, because I was trying to find a good article on fire safety. Or firearm safety, and just I clicked on five or six that I couldn't get to because of the websites were out. So anyway, I'm gonna go over to the survival section. And so as I was reading that one, I came across one from Preparedness Advice, and this is it's not too old, from August 2016, so a little over a year, but. And it's not very long. It's a short article, but I thought it was interesting. So I want to share that with you today. And the title is, again, it's from preparednessadvice.com. The title is 12 Reasons Why Well-Trained and Equipped People Fail to Survive. And I think that's really relevant for us as we prepare and we gear up. So let's go ahead and read this one. When confronted with survival situations, human beings have the potential to overcome challenges, beat incredible odds, and triumph as survivors. A favorite and inspiring tale of this type of survival is of Ernest Shackleton and his men in Endurance. These men had so little in the way of food and gear, yet they managed to survive one of the most harrowing episodes in modern history. However, there have been countless survival situations in which people fail to survive, not for lack of physical ability or resources, but because of lack of will. Survival is taking any situation, accepting it, and trying to improve it while sustaining your life until you get out of the situation. Survival is a state of mind. One haunting survival story was of a man whose body was found in a forest not too far from his vehicle. He was propped, seated against a tree, and scattered around him were matches, unlit, never used. This man was in good condition, physically, when he was found. He hadn't starved to death. He hadn't been attacked by wild animals, and he was fully clothed. Why did he fail to survive? The obvious answer was his mental state. In the book Unthinkable, the author investigates the question of who lives, who dies, and why. It's a fascinating look at failure to survive, and I recommend it. In spite of our own efforts to prepare with water, food, self-defense, and everything else we can think of, there will be those who will, ultimately, not survive in spite of their best preps. Here is a list of 12 reasons why you can fail to survive. I'm not going to number them, but I'm just going to read them out. Failure to plan. You think to take the time to survey the situation and make a plan and then follow it. Without a plan, you and everyone in your group will remain scattered, disorganized, and will eventually become unable to take wise and necessary action. Hey, I think it's kind of ironic, though, just a little side note here, that in talking about the stuff that I talked about at the very beginning, about setting a goal, setting some plans for 2018, kind of went there with that, and I definitely didn't plan it, but I planned the first part of it, but I didn't plan that all of these were going to talk a little bit about this. And then in the article that we just read about home defense, talked about having a plan for home defense, and then here we are on this one, having a plan. So there is a lot to having a plan. There is some, you get stuff done, you're able to organize and to prioritize and to see things and to go back and say, hey, did I get things done? Because if not, you're just going to be like bobbing along the ocean, and you know, you'll get into 2018 and then you'll get into 2019 and it'll be the same old. Let's have some plans. So I love that we're seeing that in all of these articles tonight. Number two is panic. Avoid becoming irrational, frantic, and disorganized. Here is a breathing technique used by many in the military to remain calm and able to stay focused. Inaction. You do nothing. You fail to take action because of fear, carelessness, or laziness. In most cases, taking any action is better than doing nothing because you can always correct course. But the laws of physics begin to operate, and emotion at rest, you may continue to stay at rest at your own peril. Loneliness. You are overwhelmed by a feeling of helplessness and loneliness, resulting in panic, fear, and inaction. In today's world, we are used to having contact with people on a continual basis, even if only by phone. Loneliness is something that we are not used to. Low self-esteem. You lack confidence in your abilities, so you fail to take action. It's better to not try at all than to try and fail, or so you may think. Number six is a lack of teamwork. You fail to work others to let rivalry affect you, or this could affect your entire group, with some vying to be in charge while everyone else takes side. In a survival situation, this can quickly become deadly. Number seven is lack of training. You don't have the knowledge or skills required to survive the situation, so you do nothing or you do the wrong thing. The sad story of Christopher McCandless in Into the Wild has multiple examples of this. Prolonged exposure or fatigue. You lose your will to survive from lack of food, water, sleep, or exposure to weather, heat, or cold. Even the person with the strongest will cannot remain that way if he or she is slowly starving to death. Number nine is inability to endure. you lack the physical stamina due to lack of conditioning or poor health. Again, the inner will may be there, but if the body doesn't also cooperate, you may fail to survive. Number 10, lack of faith. You need to have faith in something beyond yourself. In my case, that is a belief in God and the power of prayer. Number 11, a poor attitude. A negative attitude will affect your own ability to survive, plus that of others in your group. Don't be surprised if they decide to toss you out rather than to put up with your complaining. And the last one is fear. Don't let your imagination run wild. Expect fear and learn to recognize it. Don't be ashamed of any fears you may have. We all have some. Control your fears. Don't let them control you. A hero is someone who overcomes their fear. All of the above, and just FYI, they do talk a little bit about fear in that podcast, the Michael Hyatt podcast that I referred to at the beginning of this podcast. All of the above can affect you in a negative way, but there are ways to overcome them. One of the best is training and knowledge. Having the confidence to know what needs to be done and doing it is a great way to overcome the negatives on the above list. A powerful desire to continue living is necessary. The mind has the power to will the body to extraordinary feats. You must believe in your ability to survive. Here is a link to a previous post I wrote on Will You Eat or a Rat to Survive? Don't be one of the people who fail to survive because they gave up from lack of will. All right, there's 9 responses here, and so there, you know, there's always some good stuff in the comments, and then there's a lot of links in this article, and I think this is a great article that really goes right along with what I was talking about at the beginning of this episode, where you plant some, you know, you have all these plans. I guess, you know, you have all these failures and all these things, you know, failures to survive. And so you don't want to do that. So you put some plans in place, some goals in place, again, in your preparedness, but then also in your life. You have some family goals, some career goals, some personal goals, health goals, whatever it might be, financial goals, you know, all those good things. And so I think this is a great article. There's some links here that you might want to check out over at preparednessadvice.com. All right, guys, I do appreciate you listening and hanging out with me this episode and this week. This is a great week, a lot of great articles out there. We look forward to the weekend, though. And so I hope that you get a little bit of rest. I hope you get to, I know I'm going to be resting. I was talking to my wife, and I was like, do we have anything that you know of that I need to, you know, get ready and gear up for this weekend? Or are we just like, we're done? And she's like, no, there's nothing going on. I'm like, great, because I'm just going to rest, you know, and go that way. So looking forward to doing that. Got some articles that I want to maybe start writing start maybe even setting some goals, some time aside so I can start thinking about my goals and what I want for 2018. So, you know, looking forward to the weekend and all that. So I hope that you get to do whatever you need to do, whether it's rest, whether it's read, whether it's brush up on some skills or just family time, you know, getting out there and, you know, enjoying whatever time and day and whatever it looks like for you. So, again, thanks so much for being with me this week and hanging out with me on this episode 213. Hey, like always, I welcome you to connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And then you can always come over to episode 213 and drop a line in the comments over here. And if you are not part of the Facebook group, I'm going to invite you to come on over and come over to the podcast website or just in your web browser type in A More Self-Reliant Life, or in the show notes, we've got a link straight to there. And go click the join button and we'll get you in there. And we'd love for you to be part of that group. And you can come and just lurk if you want to and just kind of hang out. Or you can be a part of the conversation and what's going on. I mean, I know that there's a lot of groups out there that are always throwing things out there. It's not always like that. But when conversations come up or someone has a question, I'm very proud of the group for, you know, coming in, joining in, and trying to lend some answers and some help. So welcome you to come do that. And with that, Choose to live a more self-reliant life. Choose not to be so dependent on the government, grid, or the grind. Until next week, stay prepped and aware. Peace.